You're tuned into Soul Connection, hosted by Zenobia Todd, ASYEP intern, and Sarah Fedishin of the Aspen Hope Center. You have probably heard the term, we are all connected. Humans are social species that are wired to connect. Love and belonging are our greatest needs. Our goal is to facilitate meaningful conversations on what we all need to find wellness.
Stay tuned to listen to experts in the mental health field talk about the changing landscape of mental health and what remains true to basic human needs. We will also spend time sharing stories, experiences, and ideas we have learned along the way.
Please join us and enjoy some connection time.
Soul Connection is sponsored by the Aspen Hope Center. The Aspen Hope Center provides an array of mental health services such as crisis intervention, suicide prevention, mobile crisis response, therapy, a confidential 24/7 hope line, and a robust school-based program. To learn more about the Aspen Hope Center, you can go to aspenhopecenter.org. Thank you.
Welcome back to Soul Connection. I'm Zenobia and I'm with
Sarah. We are excited today as we're going to be interviewing Selene with the Family Resource Center of the Roaring Fork Schools. Selene, you're a family liaison with the you're a family liaison in the Glenwood Springs High School, correct?
Yes, I work with the Family Resource Center here in Carbondale.
Oh, wonderful. Well, we're so happy to have you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yes, thank you for coming. So just starting off, what got you interested in working in the human services field?
So what got me interested in working in the human services field is my passion for helping others. I remember when I was in high school, I had a teacher come up to me one day during class, and he was known for being really goofy. So when I saw him get serious, I could tell that he was about to tell me something really important. So he sat down next to me and said, "I love that you love helping others, and it's very admirable. You have a kind heart, but I need you to please start doing your own work before you go and help others do theirs." He said, "It's like when you go on an airplane and the flight attendant tells you to put your oxygen mask on before you help those around you. That's what I need you to do with your work." And so he went on to tell me how he needed me to be a little selfish because I wouldn't complete my work since I was too busy helping my classmates with theirs. So I think I've always been passionate about helping others, and I love what I do.
Oh, I love that. That's a really fun way to like start being interested in stuff like that.
Absolutely. And what a great guy to notice that and help mentor you right away and right. To see your strengths.
Yeah. That's cool.
So why does a community need a family resource center?
I believe our community needs a family resource center because everyone needs help at some point in their lives, and students must be healthy in every aspect of their lives to do well in school. Also, not a lot of people are aware of all of the resources that are available to them, so having someone to support you without judgment and lend you a helping hand can make all the difference.
Yeah, that's awesome. So the next question is, like, what services do you provide students and families? And I feel like maybe you should talk more about, well, just in my opinion, because I still struggle with understanding like exactly what a family resource center does. And so talking about like what you guys provide and also just kind of what it is.
Sure. So we support students and families using a strengths-based approach that is individualized to each student and family. So depending on their situation, we may help them with medical, vision, dental, and mental health care. We also provide public benefits application assistance, such as Medicaid and SNAP. We assist with internet access, transportation, housing, utility bills, school supplies, clothing, et cetera. Yeah. But we really build on family strengths and identify goals that cultivate family stability and well-being.
So you talk about family strengths. How do you figure that out? How do you get to know families and their strengths and their needs?
So we begin our interviews with families and students with an intake, and the intake gives us an idea of what other areas in their life we can support. And our questions are motivational interviewing is what we call it, because we always want to focus on their strengths rather than their weaknesses. So protective factors. Basically, we start our questions with their strengths. Like, say, for example, a family doesn't have electricity, but they have a roof under their head. So that's a strength. And so we kind of build on that and we go from there on like, okay, so we have these strengths. And yes, we have some like weaknesses, but we always want to start with the strengths because, you know, if we start with like, oh, this is wrong and this is wrong and this is wrong, like how can we move on from that if we're just focusing on what's wrong in our lives?
Yeah, I love that.
I love that. And everyone has a strength, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so what makes your Family Resource Center unique compared to other ones?
Well, our amazing team, of course.
Yes.
But one of the things that make our FRC unique compared to other FRCs is that we are one of the few FRCs in the Valley that is actually Latina-led, which is very important to us to reflect the demographic of our community and our schools. And the reason why our FRC staffs a bilingual, bicultural family liaison in each school. We work really hard to be culturally responsive, and we've worked very hard over the last 30 years to get to where we are today. But I truly do believe that our team makes all the difference, because not only do we care about the students, the families, and our community, but we also care about each other. And Kelly and Christy are wonderful bosses. They're incredibly supportive, and I believe they are what make our FRC unique.
It's all about relationships. It's beautiful. So how do you connect with a family liaison? I know there's a lot of organizations that are helping students and families in different capacities, but how do students or parents or guardians get a hold of you all?
So there are many ways that you can connect with a family liaison. There is one of us in each of the 12 traditional Roaring Fork School District schools, and we are all bilingual. I'd say the easiest way to connect with one of us is by contacting your school and asking to speak to the family liaison there, or asking for their contact information. You can also visit the Roaring Fork School District website, which is rfschools.com. And on the Departments and Programs dropdown, you will find the Family Resource Center, which will then take you to our website. And that is familyresourcecenter-fs-rfsd.com. And our information is on the About Us dropdown, so you will be able to find our phone numbers and our email addresses.
Awesome. That's amazing. So what's your favorite part of your job? And I know helping people and your team is an amazing part of it, but if you want to dive deeper into those, or if you have another part that is your favorite, then go for it.
My favorite part of my job is creating a safe and welcoming environment for the students. I love it when they come to talk to me because they feel welcomed, heard, and they trust me. And a lot of these students don't have that safe and welcoming environment at home, or even a trusted adult that they can confide in. So being that trusted adult in school and being there for them when they need me is very rewarding. It's especially rewarding to see the change in their personalities when they first come to me with the weight of the world on their shoulders, and then they come see me later on, and they're so carefree and at ease after working together for some time, and it truly is inspiring.
Yeah.
Wow. Can you share, like, one success story or one story of helping a student that stays with you?
I want to say it's, like, the first one, probably. Yeah. Not, like, the first student that I worked with, but my very first success story. Mm-hmm. I was helping a student with some transportation needs, and they were going through a very challenging time in their life, and I could tell that they were, like, very stressed. They were tense when we were meeting, and then after I helped them out, graduation day came, and she came to my office to, like, thank me for everything, and she gave me, like, this big hug, and so I saw the difference that I made, and I fell in love with my job then.
Wow, that's so amazing.
That is.
That makes me so happy.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. Everyone deserves to have, you know, a trusted adult in their lives, especially when you're a young person. Totally. All right. So we know it's not all cherries and sugar plums. So what is the hardest part of your job?
I think the hardest part of my job is seeing the potential of some of these students who don't see it themselves, and they just give up. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
It's hard when, as much as I try to support them, to be there for them, to guide them, to get them to contemplate about their future, but they're just so focused on the now and how much they hate school and they just want to be done with it. It's very difficult. I mean, some of these students have spent 11 years in school, and then they reach their senior year and they give up at the finish line. So that's the hardest part, to just watch them give up on themselves. But you can't help someone who doesn't want to be helped. You can only hope they reach out to you when they're ready.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah, but how do you deal with that? Because we've learned a lot about burnout in this profession, and that has to be heartbreaking when you see young people failing or doing things that are harmful. What do you do to take care of yourself?
That's a work in progress.
Yeah.
You know, I was actually previous to this job, I was in a very toxic work environment, and I think I got really good at not taking work home. Mm-hmm. So I leave it at the door, and then, of course, when I come back the next day, it's like,
yeah,
shoot.
I'm the same exact way. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know how that feels.
It's hard, but it's a work in progress. You know, we, of course, have our amazing team to vent to, and so that's always very good to have, just somebody that you can talk to about everything that's going on and who understands exactly how you feel. So as of now, that's the way that I decompress. Yeah.
I know. So being in the human services field for quite a while, I love the analogy of thinking about planting seeds. I think I had some traits of burnout about 10 years ago, and I had this supervisor that really talked to me about timing and, you know, when people are able to swallow the information that you're giving them, right? So if people are really struggling, just trying to get by, you know, the timing doesn't always line up, but that what you are showing in terms of relationship and guidance and care can pop up in that person later. So I love that analogy, and it got me through a lot of hard times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just want to say, I think it's amazing what you and your team do, because I see myself getting, like, what you just described, like, so burned out and, like, and not seeing success in myself, you know, when I have so much potential and so many people have so much potential. And it's so hard to see that in yourself sometimes. And so I think it's so good to just be there for those people. And I think being there for people that don't see that is so important.
Right. Thank you. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm kind of on the same boat too, where, you know, I have this friend that I vent to occasionally, and he's like, if you could only see in you what
exactly.
I see in you.
Yeah.
And so that totally kind of gets me through too,
yes,
you know?
Yes, exactly.
And I did have a student who I was helping. We worked together last year, and we started working together again this year. And he's like, you know, you told me something last year that really helped me get through, like, my hard times. Mm-hmm. And when he said that to me, I was like, wow, like, thank you for telling me that, you know, because if you don't tell me, I don't know that I'm actually making a difference in your life. So thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So Zenobi and I want to know, how can we all work together as a community to support children and families?
I think the best way that we can work as a community to support children and families is to take a genuine interest in other people, not just your neighbors, your family, your friends, which are all, of course, very important, but also take an interest in other people outside of your social circle. You know, check in, ask them how they're doing. We all have our own stories and our own battles, and I think we can all agree that it's discouraging when you feel that you're all alone. If you get to know others and their struggles and you can do something to help, then I encourage you to do it. Something as simple as offering to carpool to work or giving a student a ride to school because their family is struggling with transportation and your student goes to the same school, or maybe interpreting for someone in line. Everyone can make a meaningful impact in our community by simply being kind.
I love that. Yeah, Sarah and I always focus on being kind, and just even small things like you just described, like, they make such a big difference. And I love hearing all of the different ways that we can positively impact our community, you know, because Sarah and I do so many of these, like, interviews and talks, and, like, every time it just makes me so happy listening to people describe how to make our community better and care for other people.
Zenobia, this has me curious that Selene is doing all this great work in her school. What are students doing at Glenwood High School to help each other out?
I think high school is a really hard place, and so I think that maybe needs to be something that's improved. But, I mean, I do know people that help out, and I feel like it is just small things, like we've talked about before, Sarah, and it's just smiles and waves and hi. And I think what you mentioned before, like going outside of your social circle that you know, like I have like this one friend group that I'm always in, and it inspires me to like go outside of there and talk to people that I've never talked to, and I don't know, just reach out to people who I think need to be reached out to. And even just for my own part of it, just for my happiness, mm-hmm. I feel like it would be cool to go out and talk to other people, you know?
Mm-hmm. I know. I think you'd be such a strong role model in something like that.
Thank you.
And I know you're going to do it. It's pretty exciting to know that there's a family resource center in each of our school districts, from Aspen School District down to Parachute. I think all of them being school-based except for the River Center in Newcastle. That's a community-based resource center. I feel really fortunate to have these in our community.
Yeah, me too. I think it's really important, and I think it's really interesting, like, listening to you, because I never knew much about them before, and they're so impactful, and they matter so much, and so I think it's awesome what you do.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, I still have, you know, students or families who come up to me, and they're like, so what exactly do you do? And I'm like, I get it, because growing up, I was like, we didn't have that at my school. We didn't have a family liaison in my school when I was growing up. So, and, you know, helping these students now, it's like, I wish I had that, but I'm so glad that you guys have it
now. Yes, me too. Mm-hmm. Me too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because students can't come in and learn their math if they're hungry or tired or, you know, have a dental problem or a medical problem. So it just makes me feel good that there is this other entity outside of our wonderful teachers and school counselors that do so much, but to have some more support for those things that are outside of the academics, and that somebody has an eye on that. And parents are so busy, too, working a couple jobs to make it in this valley. It feels like you're a true safety net for people that just need that little extra support, and probably sometimes a lot of support. Yeah. So thank you so much for the work that you do. Each family liaison and family resource center across our region is just so inspirational. And alrighty. So I've heard that the school district is trying to tighten up their attendance policy. I'm curious, do y'all fit into that? And if you do, how are you supporting that effort?
Yes. I'm actually very lucky to have an attendance interventionist at Glenwood Springs High School. Her name is Jared. And she mostly works with students on their attendance. I used to do it last year a lot. But now that she's there, she's taking a bunch of the workload off of me. But it's been great having her. And so what we do with attendance, especially this year with the new school policy on attendance, and not a lot of people are aware, but after 10 consecutive unexcused absences, students are unenrolled from school. And they can re-enroll, but it would be a little more strict. So they would have to be under contract. We have to have a meeting. We have to come up with a plan on how we can support their attendance. Sometimes it's an issue of transportation. Sometimes it's laziness. And sometimes, as I mentioned, they're just kind of giving up. But we have Jared doing interventions. So she meets with the students. We come up with a plan. How can we support you? Do you need, this is kind of where the FRC comes in, of in terms of, do you need an alarm clock? We can provide you with one. Or, you know, again, is it transportation that's preventing you from coming to school? And so that's when we step in. But Jared meets with these students, and depending, it's kind of like a case by case, but she'll meet with them maybe once a week, maybe once every 2 weeks, once a month, etc. But yeah, so our other liaisons who don't have such luxury to have Jared in, at their school, they have to do all that work. So aside from supporting families with, you know, utilities, housing, etc., they are also working with the students on their attendance. So it's a lot of work.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I believe 5 unexcused tardies count as 1 absence, so these can accumulate as well.
Yeah. Well, I just, from my perspective, that was such like a jump for me, and I don't struggle with that personally, but I'm really happy that the students that do struggle with that have you guys there for them, because I feel like schools don't think about the reality of why students are missing, you know, and I feel like it goes right to like, oh, skipping because I don't want to go to class and I don't want to do this and blah, blah, blah. But I feel like it goes so much deeper than that, you know, like they can't physically get to school. And so it matters so much that you guys are there for them through that.
Yeah. Thank you.
I love that, Zenobia. You're right. There's usually a root cause to things like attendance and things. And it's nice to know the Family Resource Center can dive in a little bit deeper. So I also heard that you all make sure that the McEntee-Vento law is in place and strong for the Roaring Fork School District. Can you remind us what that is and what your role is in it?
Right. So McEntee-Vento, students who qualify for McEntee-Vento are those students who either don't have stable housing, they don't live with their parents or their legal guardian. I know that a lot of people don't believe that we have homeless students or homeless people living in the Valley, but we actually do. We have some people who live in RVs, and that also qualifies as McEntee-Vento because they don't have all the necessities that a normal household does. We have students and families who live in hotels, or they're couch surfing. And so it is a voluntary program. It is not required. Students who qualify and want to be a part of McEntee-Vento, they are basically protected from that attendance policy. So we cannot withdraw those students. We provide them with, now lunch is free for everybody this year, which
awesome.
Is amazing.
Yeah.
But it didn't used to be, right? Mm-hmm. So McEntee-Vento students who qualify, they would have free lunch and reduced school fees. We also help them with transportation. We help them with housing if they need it. I think it's an amazing thing that we have that helps our students and our families a lot. Yeah. And while only students qualify, it also helps the families, take a little bit of the worry off of their shoulders.
Exactly. That's amazing. I never knew that was even a thing. And I didn't know that was a program, and I didn't know it went that deep. And I think it's so amazing that it does.
Can you talk to us about the unaccompanied youth in our school district?
Right. So unaccompanied youth, we have a lot of newcomers, a lot of new students, and a lot of them, of course, don't speak the language. I can't imagine. I mean, I've been in their shoes, but not to the extent, because, there's a lot of trauma behind that, too. Mm-hmm. But I've been the new student in a new school, in a new country, in a new language. So it's very overwhelming. But fortunately, since we do have such a high amount of newcomers, they at least have each other to rely on, So we also, of course, help them with housing, school supplies, and we're doing our best to make them feel welcome, because it's very hard to feel welcome, and kind of like you mentioned, Zenobia, of these little acts of kindness that we see around the school. So from my conversations with these students, they have encountered those students who are willing to help them. It was really funny. I had a student who was like, yeah, I made a friend in class and we don't speak the same language, but we're friends.
Oh, I love that.
I love that.
And that makes
me so
happy.
They help them find their class, their locker, how to get your lunch and little things like that.
Yeah. So that's awesome. I think that amazes me, because especially Glenwood is one of the biggest schools in the Valley. And so I can't imagine just like walking in and being like, oh my gosh, there's 1,000 people here and I don't know what to do. And so it matters so much just to be like that person who says hi, even if they don't understand you, it matters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's good for us as liaisons to be like the familiar face of,
Totally.
We're there from registration. And, we get to know the students and the families. And so we're there for like.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wow. So you talked a little bit about the school district offering free lunch and breakfast. And first of all, I'm so thrilled that all students have access to food twice a day. That's a big accomplishment.
Yeah.
So thank you, all the people out there that helped to make that happen. We are so grateful for that.
Absolutely.
And, I've talked with people, and they don't believe that we have food insecurity, that some students and families are currently struggling with how they're going to afford food. Can you give us some more information about kind of the state of the union of food insecurity in the Roaring Fork School District?
Personally, I want to say that it's just the economy. I mean, it's gotten insane. Housing is not very affordable. You can't afford to live where you work. And then, there's transportation costs and the price increase on milk, eggs, everything is just getting really expensive. But our income is not getting any higher. So yeah, we do definitely have food insecurity in the Valley, which is great where SNAP comes in. You know, families who qualify for SNAP, it's been great to have that available for them. And, you know, there are some families who don't know that that's available to them. So SNAP is basically food stamps. You know, they help you get groceries. I'm sure a lot of, I know a lot of students got the CEBT and PEBT cards, which were great. I mean, I first had no idea what they were. And then, you know, students came into my office and said, hey, I got this card. What is it about? And that's when I learned it's to help you, because in the summer, and with COVID and everything, there was the food insecurity was even higher than it is now. So that was very helpful for families and students to have during that time. But yeah, so this is where SNAP comes in, and we are more than happy to help families apply.
That's amazing. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know that we also have the food bank of the Rockies and
Lift Up as well.
And Lift Up. Yeah. That's, yes, that are doing an incredible job with supporting that. In SANA, and I don't remember what that stands for. I'd have to look it up. But they're another agency that are helping with food insecurity and doing a great job.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. All of that is so important. And I think that's information we all needed to hear. And I'm so thankful to have you guys, genuinely. Like, it's really amazing, and to have the support that a lot of students need.
Yeah, me too. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it.
Thank you both.
This is Soul Connection with Sarah and Zenobia. Thank you for listening.